We had all the girls first. Now we're out of the guys. We're going to hear from Zane first.
I'm at over 80 miles per hour, and I lose my shit. Too many thoughts rattling around in my brain. Too many miles of cold gray asphalt and interstate nothingness. I haven't slept in days, as usual. And all I can think about is that call I got at 6 a.m. Jack, you better get out here. I slammed the phone down and hit the road. The rest is a blur. It's too much to bear. The thought of my stepfather's impending death. God, I'm tired. Now I'm racing over 80. Whips of weathered country streaking by. My mind going even faster. I'm somewhere on I-70. Could be Missouri. Who the hell knows? It all looks the same on the interstates. All I see is gray. Gray trees and hills. With wet gray road interrupted by the occasional gray city. It seems like I've been driving through this shit for years. I don't know why I'm doing this. Driving across country to hopefully make it in time to see Phil? I'm not supposed to care about my stepdad. Truth is, Phil was way more of a father than my real dad ever was. Whoa! Hitting 90. I'll back it off a little. 70 is the speed limit here, in whatever state. I'm used to 65, living in New York. The extra bit of leash is appreciated, pigs. It's always been this way. Whenever I'm stressed and about to blow, I hit the road, leave my troubles behind, keep moving, stay speeding so fast my life can't catch me for as long as possible.
Go.
Zane!
Welcome, Zane.
The monologue was a very interesting one. I had to go back and check to see what was in our list of monologues, because this kind of threw me off guard at first. That was very interesting. I could hear you had a lot of changes in emotion in your monologue, but unfortunately, I think you focus so much on making sure there were different emotions that we lost some of the actual feel for the piece itself. Some of it felt a little disjointed. It's just the changes in emotion didn't for the portrayal. Your portrayal of the scene doesn't match what was actually outlined in it. Looking back, the character in question is Jack, and it says that he's speeding down a Midwestern interstate in the middle of the night, speaking to into a miniature tape recorder and describing his journey. I got some of that feel from what you were doing, but it was too black and white, I guess. I needed to feel not so much like you were talking to somebody else, but you were also having a personal reflection with yourself, because you're the only one in this car. There's nobody else to hear you. You're just talking essentially to yourself into this tape recorder. Some parts of this felt very conversational, like I said, and so I just really wanted to hear you have more stress and anxiety over the fact that you're speeding down the highway in order to get to your stepfather, who is possibly going to die. Sometimes you just felt so casual that it didn't seem like your stepfather really was that big of a deal while you were driving 90 down the road. But overall, it was a good start. Don't get me wrong, it was a good start. And I think you've improved a little bit since last time. But you can push yourself so much more. Please don't. I know you can do more with it than this. One last note before I hand it off to Russ. This will sound weird, but your nostril noise, it sounded like you were snoring. And I understand it's a little hard to portray in the voice acting. Here it's Jack takes out a small vial of white powder and uses the scoop attached to the cap, snorts a dose into each nostril. There is a difference in sound between snoring and snorting coke. but it's not something where we had gone over yet, so we won't hold that against you. Sorry, Russ, go right ahead.
Well, I had a lot of the same notes. I looking over this monologue now, it seems to me that this is or can be a kind of a trap. The emotions you're going to convey when you're talking into a recorder are going to be very, very different than if you're actually having a conversation, especially since that's not your main focus. Your main focus is you are driving at a really, really fast rate of speed in the dark. You should be basically focusing completely on the road, and what you should sound like is abstracted, not whiny, which is mostly what I heard. As a result, the emotions are going to come out very, very differently. This, by the way, would have been a great one to come talk to us about, just because in some ways it's very hard to do without looking at it carefully and having somebody else listen to how it sounds. As far as the snorting noise, yes, again, I agree. It sounded like you were snoring, and I had to go look at it to see why are you doing that. I think this monologue, as most monologues that we're going to look at, are designed for the stage. On the stage, it would have been obvious that you are snorting coke or whatever you're doing. In a audio-only monologue, that's not obvious. And I think I might have made the creative choice to just drop it, because it doesn't really affect the rest of the scene. Unless, since there are no lines about it, nothing to give any impression to the listeners what's going on, it's probably something that had you asked, I would have said, you just don't do it. Because it's more confusing. And of course, and if you're going to do it, sniff, you know, don't snore.
So it was one huge take of coke in that scene. Like, oh my god, he inhaled the entire bottle in one go. Damn, he just tripped out right now.
Really? It's doing 90. You heard him go, whoa, 90.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so
that said, I don't think we'll count that sound effect against you, because we didn't really talk about that at all. It's just funny.
But it's something, however, a general point, when you are adapting a stage monologue to voice acting, sometimes, although we don't usually want you to do that, sometimes if there is a stage direction, you don't necessarily have to follow it, especially if it's not going to read to a listener. Okay, we have one more left. We have Copper.
Fuck you, Thomas! I'll curse as much as I goddamn want to. And right now, I fucking want to. I don't give a damn what you think, Thomas. Paul's dead. He's dead. Gone. Shuffled off his mortal coil. Bitten the big one. Kicked his boots up. He's gone off to meet his maker. If we have a maker. And Charon is taking him there. Goddamn you, Paul! Why didn't you see me? No. No. Don't damn Paul. Damn God. You hear me? Go piss on yourself. While you're at it, piss on me too. Piss me 6 feet under and bury me next to him. Damn you for this limp. And for Cindy and for taking him away from me. I know you hear me. You hear everything. I condemn you. That's right, you bastard. With my mortality. With my humanity. I condemn you. Whatever my soul is worth, I point it as a poisoned arrow at your very core. I hope you rot because of it, and fall from your perfect world, and bring down all of your perfect angels and your streets of gold so that they die and be taken away from you. He was beautiful. You know that. He was too beautiful for this world. Given time, he would have filled it up with his beauty, and then there would have been nothing left for ugly people like me. That's why you took him. You made a mistake by putting him here. You're not infallible. Not one bit. And maybe my curse is hurt. Damn you for letting me see his beauty before you took it away. Damn you. Damn you. I couldn't catch him. I tried, damn it, I did. But this fucking limp. I found his hat just lying there the other day. It was like he dropped it there for me to find. I went running all over. As much as I can say what I do is running. And I finally found him in his car driving away. I tried to catch him, but this limp. I was waving his hat and making more noise than I thought possible for anyone to make. He still drove off. This fucking limp. He'd still be alive. In his car. Or when he was thrown out of it, or when he hit the ground, or whatever. If I had stopped him, at least he could have died with his hat on.
And Copper. Well, you had some very good anger at the start of this one, and which is just what I felt was appropriate. At some point into it, however, you switch from talking to Thomas, who's sitting right next to you, presumably, to talking to God, but I don't hear any change in your tone. So it might have worked better to start with a quieter anger to Thomas, and then you can ramp it up to talk up to the heavens, because you figure you got to shout a bit louder to God. When you get to "Damn you, Paul," you know that you just—it needs to come out. The script actually tells you to take a beat, and that would also help in the change. You mostly had the same angry tone until you got to the point where it says he was beautiful, and there you changed, and that was nice. But at that point, you morphed into increasing whininess. And I think it gets a little bit too much after a while. A quiet anger, again, a different kind of quiet anger, might work here. It's tough in this one because anger is the most common emotion until you get to the "I couldn't catch him." And the "I couldn't catch him" is the high point, or should be the high point, in the monologue. The script suggests that you've got a long cry here, and I think that would have helped you. What you do instead is, at this point, you go into a whiny cry. Instead of a yell out, you're sort of crying through this. And it's good that you're doing some crying. I think you do too much of it. And as a result, I only heard basically three emotions. Anger, a little whininess, and then crying through this. Meredy, maybe you heard more. Meredy? Maybe I've lost Meredy. Hello?
No, here I am! Sorry! I thought I had unmuted my mic, but apparently it remuted itself. Yay for me. No, I think it didn't feel so much like whining to me. It felt like a lot of upset and regret that changed its focus. Because at first it sounded like to me, regret and sorrow over what's his name?
Over Paul?
Paul's death, yeah. And then self-hate for his limp, for his limp getting in the way of him, you know, being able to do something about it. I will admit, when you first started, I think the last, and stop me if I'm wrong, but the other submissions we've gotten from you all kind of had the same angry start to them. So at first I was worried, oh no, it's going to be another yelling, swearing, ranting one. Oh boy. But you did change it. And that's why the more sorrowful, emotional upset, regret, setup in later on in the monologue stood out to me more. I agree with that section where your character damns God. It sounds like you lost focus. It sounds like you knew you needed to have an emotion in there, but you didn't know what to do or where to put where to put your focus, or maybe more detailed focus on. It felt like you finally found it when you started listing all of your perfect angels and your streets of gold so that they may die. You stepped into more familiar territory with ranting off all these things that come to your mind. But yeah, I think that was the weakest part, was the whole discussion with God. But yeah, let's see. Do I have anything else to say about it? No. I thought it actually ended rather nicely. Well, I guess that's it for me.
Okay. And now the results. Meredy, who won for you tonight?
Lex.
Lex did a terrific job.
Yes.
I think I ranked Skywish as the top, but I don't think there was that much to tell between the two of them.
Nope.
So who do you have next?
Next, I have 11 Linda.
11 Linda, showing that coming to us and asking for help does make a difference here.
Yes. Thank you. We felt love this week. It was awesome.
I put cool. Miss Voice of an Angel next.
And I put Temporary Butterfly next.
I felt that Temporary Butterfly did a very nice emotional job. I ranked her a little bit lower because of all her diction problems. Now I would put...
It's okay, Temporary Butterfly. I still love you.
Just want... The diction is something you can correct. I would next put Leave Me Alone.
And Copper.
Both of you had some issues. We felt that you could have had a little more range in your emotions. And that unfortunately leaves Zane at the bottom. And Zane, I think you completely missed the point of your monologue. And it's something that you really, really should have come and asked for help for.
Yeah. Don't feel... you are always welcome to come talk to us. And unfortunately, I will say this for Zane. He did send me a Skype, I think it was last night or possibly the night before. And I think he was going to ask me, I assume he was going to ask me some questions or whatnot. And I'm very sorry that I missed your message. So I will take some of the blame for that, because it could have been a review session.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I was making CDs for like 10 hours, so yeah, that was fun. Anyway, sorry. Yes, so I will try to be more available. I will try to make myself more available on Skype from now on throughout the competition, and I apologize if that affected your performance. I just want to put that out there.
But overall, we felt the performances tonight were very, very good.
Yeah, I was impressed by everybody who submitted tonight. It was just great. It was so beautiful.
It was actually a bit hard picking who the winners were tonight.
It was. It was kind of getting to a point where we were getting so many people. I was thinking, like, we have to pick categories. I mean, this could just put everybody into one section. Just say everybody won.
But we're not supposed to do that.
I know.
Of course, we're making up the rules as we go along, so I suppose we could have.
Yeah! There we go!
We want to incentivize you guys to improve. If you were second this time, you want to try to do even better so you can be first next time.
How about everybody wins today, and then next time, the better they do, the more candy they get. I will send everybody candy.
And speaking of next time, what are we doing for next week, Meredy?
Next time, we are going to go over outbursts of emotion. That includes things like crying, anger, fighting. Our goal is going to be to get you guys to get out of your shells a little more, to push yourselves past your safety, the safety barriers you put up, your safety barriers that you've set up for your emotional deliveries, and get you out of that comfort zone and start being more and more expressive. And I think one of the better ways to do it is to start doing reactions and exclamations, where you have two choices. You can either go all the way or let it fall flat. So we will work on that. We'll have some exercises for you and some we'll have some dialogues this time, right?
Right. Only the dialogues are going to be a little bit different from what you're used to from dialogues.
Mm-hmm. They are going to be driven by reaction sounds. And I think our goal is to make it so that we have very few, if any, spoken lines at all. But you're going to use your reaction sounds in order to tell a story. So that should be fun.
It should be very interesting. And as usual, those will be due by 11:59 Friday. That's just a reminder for those mm-hmm. of you who didn't quite make the deadline this week. We're not holding it against you, but please, 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 it's important for us to see the stuff on time, just in case we want to do something different.
Are we going to, I'll just throw this out there, are we going to mix the dialogue that they give us, aside from mixing them together?
You know, we haven't actually talked about how they're going to do that. Yeah. Obviously, one possibility would be anybody who has the Skype call recorder can use that. If you can't do that, it might be easy. You could contact me and I could sit and record it for you. Recording these, especially when there are no lines to guide us, could be kind of difficult. But we will talk about ways of doing this. If you don't have something like CallGraph, give us a call and we'll talk about how to do it.
We'll put more details in the email and a lesson that we send out about what we want to do with that.
Right. So watch for details.
Yes.
And see you next week.
Adios.